Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Last time we spoke, we are teaching from the book of Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And last time I mentioned a few things by the grace of God, which I'll just briefly talk about before we move on this morning, so that we can have a better understanding of the book of Timothy. As we all know, the book of Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul to his son in the faith by the name of Timothy. You know, by the time Paul started growing and then his ministry was expanding, God raised up through Paul a son called Timothy. So he wrote this epistle to Timothy, who he left in the church of Ephesus. And the main reason why he wrote to the book of Timothy to Timothy was to refute false teaching in the church. Let's say they got to refute false teaching in the church, which already crept into the church, you know, at that time. And also to enable Timothy to provide public worship in the church. The Bible says somewhere in the book of Psalms, it says, you should know how to behave yourselves in the house of God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. And also to enable Timothy to appoint chosen leaders in the church. Basically, those are the three reasons why this book was written to Timothy by Paul, or the apostle. And if you notice, just as a brief recap, you know, by the time Paul left Ephesus and left Timothy behind, he prophesied years before then in the book of Acts. He said that he knows that grievous wolves will enter immediately he leaves. And it actually happened, you know. So let's open our Bibles to book of Acts chapter 20, just a brief recap. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Acts chapter 20, verse 17. Acts 20, 17. Are we there? Acts 20, 17. Thank you, Lord. Let us read together. And from Miletus, he sent unto where? Ephesus, and called the elders of the church. Next verse. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from what? The first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. Because of time, let's move to verse 25. Because of time, verse 25, please. Let's read together. And now, behold, you see, he was talking by revelation. As at the time he was speaking, nothing had happened yet. So now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. So he knew that he was not going to be there, see them anymore. Verse 31, because of time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of all 3 years, I cease not to do what? Warn everyone night and day with us. Next verse. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Let's go to verse 38 because of time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's together. Sorrowing. No, there's a place that it says that, I think it's before that verse. 29. Verse 29. Let's just verse 29. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 29. Praise the Lord. For I know this, that after my departing, shall what? Grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So he prophesied this 5 years, it came to pass after he told them this. You know, and it's so unfortunate. The same thing is happening in the church of Lord Jesus Christ today. False brethren, false teachers, who all the Bible, Paul said that whose God is their belly. That's all they think about. That's all they can do. They have nothing to offer the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and also we spoke extensively about the ministry of the apostle. You see, we need to know what the ministry of an apostle is. Let's open to Romans chapter 11, verse 13. 11, 13. Amplified. Okay, let's first read in KJV. Okay, fine. But now, I'm speaking to you, who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I lay what? Great stress on my ministry and I magnify my office. Paul did not say I magnify myself. He said I magnify my office. Why did he say that? As pastor has taught out over and over, think of a fivefold ministry as anointings. When you think about it as anointings, it will help you to receive from the man of God. Let me give you a simple example. We have Dr. Williams in our midst. He's a consultant endocrinologist, I believe. Like I said all the time, there's a difference between a consultant and a general practitioner. If you have a problem now, God forbid, we will not have that problem. That's with your pancreas, you know. You know, you will go to, when you see Dr. Williams and he's giving instructions, he will give you specific instructions. Unlike when you see a general practitioner or just a regular doctor, who just tell you normal things, okay, don't eat this, don't eat too much sugar. But he can't give you specific instructions. That is the difference between an apostle and all the other ministry gifts that we have. So we think of them as anointings. Paul said, I magnify what? My office, not myself. So he can partake of the unction on the man of God. And I said earlier also, it's very important for us to know these four teachers, they bring division to the church. They divide the body of Christ. How do they do that? They do strife and wrong teaching, erroneous teaching, things that are not in line. They take a little bit of truth and then they overemphasize it, or they mix it with things that are, Bible says, you make the word of God of none effect with your tradition. So it's important for us to have that as back of mind as we continue. You know, and it's important, out of all the points I listed last time, the most important point what I want to emphasize about apostolic ministry, which is God wants you to recognize an anointing, because the Bible says, Paul said, I, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. They let every man take heed how he builds. He said, for no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid in Christ Jesus. Very important. So what are we saying? They laid the foundation. How did they lay that foundation? They give you stones, revelation, instructions. Like a doctor will come and say, okay, you have malaria fever, God forbid, I'll give you Quartem. Say, okay, take two in the morning, two at night, then so and so, then every 6 hours you take Panadol. So the same thing, the apostle, he comes and gives you instructions so that you might be established. You know, like, we won't go there in the book of Romans and say that I desire to visit you and my impart on some spiritual gifts so that you may be established. That ability, that grace to be established as a Christian is upon the apostolic ministry. And after God has raised them up again in this end time. So we can stand, so I no longer toss to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Let's open to Matthew 10 verse 40 just to emphasize it. It's important how we receive these ministries that God has sent to us. If you don't receive them with the right attitude, which is you follow them and their teachings, you cannot be established. We are talking now about the apostolic ministry. Matthew 10 verse 40, Lord Christ talking, said, he that received you does what? Received me. And he was talking to who? His apostles at that time. And he said that, he that received me, received him that sent me. Next verse. He that received a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive what? A prophet's reward, the anointing of that prophetic ministry, apostolic ministry. You know, and he that received a righteous man, in the name of a righteous man, shall receive a righteous man's reward. Praise the Lord. Now, in studying, because of time, I mentioned also how you can know a true apostle. Lord just came for revelations, was talking to the Ephesian church. He said, I know that you have born them and you have tried them that I said the apostles are not. So God expects us to try them. I didn't say judge, try them. But I said, try the spirits, whatever they are God. If you take an instruction and you try to use it and you are not established, that means that person does not have the apostolic anointing. Clouds without rain. Praise the Lord. So that is the apostolic ministry. While I was revising and getting ready, God showed me something I'll mention before we move on today for our lesson for today, which is very important. See, the apostolic ministry or the apostolic anointing is not only to establish you, it's also to finish the work. It's important. I was just studying and revising, and God took me to the book of Zechariah. Let's open to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. It is not only to lay the foundation, especially in this end time. You see, during the time of Paul and the other apostles, the earlier the apostles of the Lamb, they were only proclaiming what they saw in Jesus Christ. How about there was progressive revelation? By the time it came to Paul, Paul started with also doing the same thing. Then God sent to Gentiles and God took to Corinthians and he said something. He said, warning every man, teaching every man that we may do what? Present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. We do not overemphasize the doctrines of baptism. You know, the things, the foundational principles of a Christian. We don't. But the greater swallows up the lesser. And God is about to consummate. You know, the building, all he has been talking about now. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 8. Lord Jesus, please help me. 4, 8. Are we there? Zechariah 4, 8. This is the character speaking to Zerubbabel, a type of the apostolic ministry. Are we there? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands The hands of Zerubbabel have laid what? The foundation of his house. His hands also shall finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation. And God is telling us that that same Zerubbabel shall do what? He shall finish it. Some weeks ago, I was alone. I was down. And I began to say, Lord, when God gave me the scripture, he said, don't worry. He said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation. But give no stone revelation knowledge on which you are building and applying. Say, also the hands of Zerubbabel shall do what? Finish what? Finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has what? Sent me unto you. Next verse. We'll see now. For who had despised the day of small things? Pentecost. We are not going to despise Pentecost. But you see, you need Pentecost to cross over into tabernacles. Are you following me? For they shall rejoice and shall do what? See the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, the apostolic ministry. Are you following me? With those seven that are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Praise the Lord. You may not understand what we're trying to say. He's using building terms to describe the building of a house. Says Zerubbabel laid the foundation. We know that story in the natural. I won't go there because of time. But it's also telling us now, what is God telling us today in Scripture? He said that you have seen Zerubbabel laid the foundation. The apostle. He said, now, watch it. The same Zerubbabel shall finish it. Let us read the book of NIV. Let's go to NIV. NIV explains it better. It makes it clearer. Let's read. Who despises the day of small things? Men, you and I, let's say it again, you and I will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. The seven are the eyes of the Lord which reigned throughout the earth. Next verse. And I think it's amplified. Now somewhere it interviews the word plummet. It said the capstone. It says capstone. Let me find it. I think it's in New International. Verse 10. Internal version. I don't know where this one is saying, use the word plumb line. I think it's in it says that. I don't know. See that somewhere. I know it's in NIV. I don't know which version. This is another version. It says that they shall rejoice when they see the capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. When they see the capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. Let's say together, we shall see. We now see the capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. That is what it says in that version I read. What is the capstone? It is revelation knowledge of the glory of God that God will put upon the temple. You see, Zerubbabel laid the foundation with stones. I will lay your stone, your foundation with fair colors. All the things the pastor has been teaching us. Revelation day after day, night after night. And mommy, God is now telling us in this house that don't worry, you will see the capstone. In fact, we can see the capstone, only by the capstone, the revelation of how to inherit the glory. It was Moses that God told in the Bible how the glory will come. He said, you sacrifice this, you do this, you do. When you do this, the glory will come. Then Moses now gave those instructions to the sons of Aaron. And they indeed, the Bible says that, as long as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. So how do you know the present day entire apostolic ministry that God is raising up worldwide? Look for the capstone. Once you see the capstone, it should give you an assurance that as surely as I live, as God says, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So that is what we talked about during last time. Now we're going to, let's read from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 and see how far the Lord will help us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Paul, let's read together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Next verse. Let's keep reading. Unto whom? Timothy, my own son, in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Next verse. Let's go there. As I besought thee, to abide still at Ephesus, when I went to Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Next verse. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which means that questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Next verse. Now, says together, now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That is the end of our faith. You see, the problem is not the love. The problem is the heart from which the love comes. That is the whole essence of Christianity. Purify that heart. Get rid of that sin nature. That love can come out uncontaminated. Pure. That is the end. Next verse. I now say something. Next verse, please. From which some, let's say many, many in this day, have done what? Swerved and have turned aside unto vain jangling. If you don't make the love of God come out of a pure heart, you have swerved off. Like somebody loses control of his car. It's going to crash very soon. So many have swerved off in the body of Christ. They have left purpose. They have left destiny. Every other thing, I don't care whether you preach prosperity for money tonight, it's vain jangling if you don't make this your primary purpose. So let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll talk about that hope. You see, when Paul wrote this letter, he was writing to Timothy, his son. And Timothy was already born again. And the church he was talking to was already born again. So he was not talking about the hope of being born again. Praise the Lord. Are we there? It says, by Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the command of God our Savior, and what? Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Your hope is not to get a job in Abuja. The hope of Christianity is the Lord Jesus Christ. And our pastor has taught us many times, we'll define some terms so we can understand what we mean by that. What is hope? We can write this down from what pastor taught us many years ago. Hope is the desire of love. What God, who is love, wants to give us, but we have not yet seen or experienced. That's a general terminology. It is the desire of love. God is love. God desires to give us something. We have not yet experienced it. That is hope. It gives you a picture at the back of your mind. Are you following me? It is that hope in our hearts that gives us joy when nothing seems to be working in our lives. When you have that, says, he that had that hope in him purified himself, even as he's pure. That was how Esther could go through the purification process, because she said, very soon I will become queen. The Lord Jesus Christ also raised up a bride for himself. From in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. He said, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That cleansing is not always comfortable. But see, when you have that hope in you, it makes you to endure and to go through. Praise the Lord. So let us say this, as Pastor taught us some years back, hope desires, faith creates, and love gives. Let's say, hope desires, faith creates, and love gives. But so for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it's very important for us to have that at the back of our mind. Now there are three levels of hope. I'll mention them and then we'll zero down on what Paul was telling Timothy. Jesus Christ, our hope. The first hope we have is the hope of the promise of this lifetime, temporal blessings. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible says God has given us all things richly to enjoy. It's important. But that's just the foundation. You should not stay there. And we'll take an example from Romans chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. Look at Abraham. God gave Abraham a promise. And you see, even in that promise itself, we'll see later, you see, even though it was a natural blessing, but it had a spiritual significance as it applies to us. But now let's just look at it at the level of natural things. So we're not, like Pastor said, God is going to give us the former and latter rain in the first month. God wants us encouraged. So we're not going to leave Passover. We'll talk about it. How we get those temporal blessings. God wants us to be rich. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be healed. So don't be discouraged by trusting God for something. It's going to come. Amen. If you patiently wait for it. Are we there? Let's see. Who against hope? Believe in hope. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken. So shall what? Thy seed be. Next verse. Help me, Lord Jesus. And what? Being not weak in faith. Faith is that ability to create. Once you lose that ability to create, you lose that hope. And then God is hindered from giving you.
So you must have that hope. Three things you must have. You must have that hope bright before you, whatever you are believing God for. Yet now faith, the substance of things hope of, the evidence of things not see. You see, you must have it. It must be burning bright all the time. Exercise. I said, we walk by faith and not by sight. So Abraham kept walking by faith and not by sight. Are you following me? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Total hopelessness. Next verse. And he what? Staggered not at what? The promise of God. Too humbly, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Next verse. Next verse. And being fully persuaded. You must come to that place where you are fully persuaded. Until you are fully persuaded, you will always be shaking like a reed. Whereby, in fact, nothing else is working. But you know that because God said, and he is not a man to lie, neither is the Son of Man to repent. As he said, I shall not do it. Or as he spoke, shall not make it good. Are you following me? So, he was fully persuaded that he had brought his promise. He was also able to perform. The issue is this. Satan is telling us that God cannot do this thing. It's too late. Oh, God will not do it for you. I follow him. You I can God do this for you. We'll take this to the most important point. Next verse. Of time, Lord help me. And therefore, it was put out to him for righteousness. Somewhere in, I think it's Hebrews, he said he considered not. What are you considering? Two things you consider. Bible says, consider our high priest. Book of Hebrews. Consider him, whoever liveth to make intercession for you. Don't consider the things that have been gone, that seemingly have died. Consider that high priest. Consider the word of God that is there praying for you to receive that temporal blessing. The next one is the hope of the perfection of fullness of Christ. We're going to come back to this. But let's just read the scripture in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians 1, 27. This is our purpose. This is the most important thing that you must not let go. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's say it together. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is another hope that is set before us right now. That's what we should be believing God for. That if all else fails, at least this one must not fail. We must continually use our faith, using the blood, word, and spirit to make sure we realize that hope. Now, the third one is the hope of a glorious resurrection. I don't want us to turn there because of time. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we have all men most reasonable. And if all you are living for is to get a house, get married, have children, get the best degree, you are miserable. There are a lot of miserable Christians in the body of Christ today. Going from left to right, they have no hope of his calling. Are you following me? So it's important for us now go back to this. Because Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, Jesus Christ, our hope. You see, the degree to which you receive or you enjoy or you realize the hope of his glory will determine how much of a temporal blessing you can enjoy. And then the order of your resurrection. So it is hope in the middle that ties both of them together. The pastor has been teaching us. You see, he says that this person shall come upon you and overtake you. He says, I'll be heard and not. He says, about exalted above all. He says, you are bold in Jesus. We have not seen it. So we're not talking about chicken change here. We may not have got it to where Bill Gates is, but God is saying, look, this is chicken change. So he says, you can get all that in the natural by going to school, getting a good job. And then, you see, but God is saying to his end time church, when you realize this hope, this person will come upon you and they will overtake you. So you need that hope to be able to achieve the anointing to get what God wants to give us. A greater than Solomon is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants us to be greater than Solomon. Are you following me? So that is very, very important. That is the hope that God has set before us to support this. Let's read the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Let's do that. Hearing is our love made perfect. That what we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So God is waiting for that day that will look at you and I, and also will look at you, look at me, will look exactly like the Lord Jesus Christ. Carrying the same glory, carrying the same anointing, with the same backed, with the same character. Not in this world, but in the life to come. Praise the Lord. Like as I said, that hope gives us joy. And us to undergo the purifying process, like I mentioned later on. That's why Esther could endure. He could see himself as queen. So we also have to endure. Let us begin to see ourselves as the bride of Christ. So let us get ready. That's what we sing all the time. So, and the bride has made herself ready. It's very important. When you see that hope, you can go through the tribulation. Bible says tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. You see, the hope that we are talking about that will not make you ashamed is the hope of the glory. Look at Anna. Anna never gave birth to any child. If you look at the natural, I'm not ashamed. That reproach was not removed from Anna's life. Anna that prayed the Lord Jesus Christ to exist. The husband died. So the hope that will not make you ashamed, that is a sure banker. But actually, that hope enters within this. It's sure and steadfast. The hope that will not make you ashamed is that hope of the glory. That is the one that God has guaranteed. I see that hope we are talking about is not only corporate. It's also individual. There are some of the things I spoke to God and he spoke to me. He said it's Passover individual. And it's corporate. It's Passover individual. You confess, you came, you said this in our prayer, you got born again. This is your personal savior. The just shall live by his own faith. Pentecostal is individual, then it becomes corporate. So also of necessity must tabernacles be individual before it becomes corporate. So let no man deceive you, and so that he can hide under the canopy of okay when it happens. No, it's individual. He will start individual, then he will become corporate. At the Bible symbol of Romans, it says that Jesus Christ is the firstborn amongst many brethren. So if you have first, there will be second. He didn't say first and then the rest. That's why I say somewhere in the Old Testament, all the time turn there. He said, 3 times in a year shall your children appear before me. All your males. Like they took Jesus Christ to Passover. They took him to, not only him, they took all the other guys too. They would take not only Jesus Christ, they took every one of them. All the children. James, Jude, and all the sisters. Are you following me? So it's important. That's why the Bible says, it says that he that touched them, let it come unto me. He, singular. You should pray that God should create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in you. He that thirst, let him come and drink. Out of the shall flow. He quoted that scripture during the feast of Tabernacles. We don't have time to turn there. Are you following me? Also said that except a corn of wheat fall into ground, but when singular, it wasn't corporate. Are you following me? Then it will not become corporate later. Praise the Lord. So I think we have emphasized that, and it's very, very important. Now, this hope that is set before us. Let's look at it from the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My Father, I thank you so much. Hebrews chapter 6, let's go there. Talking about that same hope. Now let us look at Isaac. The reason why Isaac did that thing, that God gave Isaac to Abraham. Said, for God, let's say together like we made it. For God is not unrighteous to forget what? Your work and your labor of love. Say, God is not unrighteous to forget my work and my labor of love. What? Which you have showed toward his name, his character, in that what you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Next verse. Let's get down. And we desire that every one of you do what? Show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Don't lose hope. The end of your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Look at the capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. Take that capstone and begin to use it, and the glory will manifest. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. That he be not what? Slothful. Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, next verse. Let's read together. For when? Say, for when? God made promise to Abraham because he could not swear by no greater. He did what? He swore by himself. Next verse. Follow me in the spirit. Saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee. I'm multiplying, I'll multiply thee. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so, after he had patiently endured. There's a period to patiently endure. This thing we are waiting for, this hope, is not less a case. There's a process of patience, endurance. We'll see by the time we go on that God himself is patiently believing God for sons. The husband man patiently waited for the precious fruit of the earth. So as we are being patient, God who is being patient, make sure that God's faith works in your life. Next verse. For men, verily swear, by the greater, and an hope for confirmation is to them an end of strife. Next verse. Wherein, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. The word confirmed it by oath. At the confirmation, no, we've done our confirmation. You know, in those days, before God born again, we'll go to good come. We've done confirmation, no. Next verse. That by what? Two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong God, consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set forth, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, which is sure and steadfast, which entereth within the veil. Come, follow me. Come. You see, you have to lay hold on that hope. You see, when you lay hold on that hope you are laying on is the revelation knowledge. You lay hold on it when you're out in the holy place. So when you lay hold on that hope, that is the holy, most holy place. As you lay hold on that hope now drags you into the most holy place. You lay hold on it. Since that's what the Bible says. Like Pastor Adekoya told us, he said the French say, when he said, lay hold on eternal life, in the French Bible says, seize it! Seize it! Lay hold on that hope! You seize that hope in the holy place. When you seize that hope and don't let go, like I held on to what means that hope. That hope now drags you, as we begin to pray, drags you into the most holy place. With that, the forerunner is for us entered. Let's read, God. Which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, sure, steadfast, which entereth within the veil. That hope did not enter into the outer court. It did not stay in the holy place. It entered into the most holy place. Next verse. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Without what? The forerunner is for us entered. Even Jesus made an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Let me ask you a question, folks. High priest over what? The car you are believing God for. High priest, Jesus Christ is not wasting his time praying that you get a car or a house. You don't need all that. Some people have houses and cars before they got born again. So what he's praying about is he ever lived to make intercession for you. He's not, he can realize that hope. So he's sitting on the mercy seat and he's praying night and day, ever living to make intercession for you and I. So he's expecting you to lay hold on that hope by revelation as we from the showbread and the candlestick, and then you follow that hope. That hope now drags you to the most holy place. That's what God is doing. Don't let go of that hope. You see, in your mind, that's what happens when the enemy comes. Some days ago, I was praying. Oh, I had some challenges. And God spoke to me. He said, may the Lord cover your head in the battle. There's an intense battle going on. And it's coming against the souls of us Christians. But God is going to cover your head in the day of battle. The helmet of salvation. The hope of his calling. There is one hope of our calling. Praise the Lord. It is sure and it is steadfast. And it enters within the veil. So when you get to that place, and you go to take mercy, like we've been taught, because Jesus Christ is on the mercy seat, to realize that hope is not gra-gra. You lay hold on to Lord, I mean, I'll give an example, that hope. As he's dragging you, Lord, have mercy on me. You know what he says in the book of Isaiah, Cyrus, just comes in by revelation. He says, I will open unto you the two leaf gates. that one place, the gates of mercy and grace, into the most holy place. So we can enter, Lord, within the veil. You see, that is what we are talking about, folks. This is the end point of our Christianity. And like I said earlier on, Jesus, Lord, Heavenly Father himself, is using his faith for that hope. In book of James chapter 5, he just turned there because of time, just mentioned it. He said something. He said, the husbandman waited patiently for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience. You see, your patience, you are waiting and complaining, is not as long as God's patience. He's been waiting from the Garden of Eden. You have not waited for 80 years since then you got born again. Start counting from there, you got the revelation of that hope. So why are we weary? Let not your hands be slack. As surely as I live, saith the Lord, the whole earth shall be filled with knowledge of the glory of God. So, like you see, Romans chapter 8, verse 24, God is using his faith to realize that hope. He wants to give that hope. We also must exercise our faith to realize that hope. So, it is both of us, we are going to meet where? In the most holy place. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope. This is the hope that saves us. We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. I thought that we are saved by grace through faith. This is the hope that saves. The end of it. We are saved by hope. For what a man says, what does he hope for? Next verse. But if we hope for that we see none, then we with patience what wait for it. Next verse. Likewise. Understand my English. That is why, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to concern that hope. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with what groanings. Pastor preached this many years ago, and he just stuck in my heart. He was preaching one of the seminars that we teach, you know, on prayer. I was teaching those years ago, about over 20 years ago. And he said something. He said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us. And he said, stop. You know, I said, how do you know the Spirit is making intercession for you? Then now the main part of the verse, for us with groanings. You should settle every controversy. Likewise, the Spirit making intercession for us. How? Stop, just put a comma there. How? He says, for what with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next verse. Let us settle groanings in your heart. If you don't groan, you will never enter that place. You can see it there. And he that started it has no what is his mind of his spirit, because he maketh the same for the sins according to the law of God. Next verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom we did foreknow, them also this presented to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You know, don't let us have our time to say. We need to wait with patience for that hope. For if we wait, my time has gone. But if we wait for that which you do see now, we wait for with patience. Now, let me, God help me. Let me touch on this issue. I'm Google operating on a board anointing. So I think I can borrow about 10 minutes. Praise the Lord. So let's read verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy 1, 2. Let's read. I will rush through now. Let's see. Unto Timothy, my son, in the faith, what? Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul did not give back to Timothy in the natural. My own son in the faith. He wasn't even married. So, sonship in the kingdom is not by natural birth. It is by spiritual birth coupled with spiritual growth into maturity. That's sonship in the kingdom. We don't inherit sonship in the kingdom by natural birth. That is why you find Joshua inheriting, Elisha inheriting. It's not like that. It's not natural. So it is. So that's why Jesus Christ on the cross, he told his mother Mary. He said, Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Mary did not give birth to John the apostle. Well, by reason of time, at that time, John the apostle had become a son. Above the others, he now handed over his mom to John the apostle. How am I going to do this? Timothy started as a minister, a servant to Paul until he became a son, whom God through Paul could commit the Ephesian church to. Acts chapter 19, verse 22. You don't start a son, no. You start a servant. And I'm not talking about I'm a servant of God preaching the gospel. It was this man that said some years ago, Rick Godwin, that there are two occupations you start from the top. Well digging and grave digging. All the others, you start from beneath. Many people want to get born again today and begin an apostle tomorrow. It is not like that. You start with the bold anointing. Then you begin to grow onto sonship and can now inherit. Acts chapter 19 verse 22. So, he sent unto Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus, but himself stayed in Asia for a season. I don't have time to turn there, but you can go in the book of Matthew where he prayed for Peter's mother-in-law. He said, he rose up and ministered to them. They were the ones that are making sure that Paul was comfortable. They will cook his food. They will help us get to do all those things. Listen, many of us may not be able to do that, but wherever you find yourself, in the middle of a ministry, make sure you are ministering to Paul. Making the work of God work smoothly. Are you following me? That's what I'm trying to say. So, it is when he now ministered, after a period of time, he now called him son. So we all start as servants under 2,000 governors. That is the fivefold ministry. Are you following me? After we get born again, because of residual sin nature in the soul and the body, and then we start becoming sons when we start to dominate and to flush out the sin nature from the soul and body. So when I was talking spiritual, physical here, you start as a servant. Then you grow and become a son. Are you following me? So it's very important. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let's go down. Galatians 4 says, and now I say that the heir, as long as a child, different nothing from a servant. Though what? He be Lord of all. Next verse. But, that's a very big but. But, is under tutors and governors until the time I appointed of the Father. Under permanent humility. Under. Stay under. Stay under. Until the time appointed of the Father. Jesus stood under until he got to Jordan. And the Father spoke, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Under. Are you following me? Should I stop, sir? Proverbs 29, verse 21. Proverbs 29, verse 21. I need to stop. Lord, mercy, Lord. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at length. That's Timothy for you. You see, it's a delicate thing. It's a delicate thing. You see, Christians that God can commit to any human being. It's the source of men. When Paul committed the Ephesian church to Timothy, it wasn't a physical structure. He was not talking about maintaining the building, make sure that the air conditioner is not working. No! It was the source of men he gave to him. So why has the entire church omitted the whichever out of the law? You know why? The greatest asset in the kingdom is the soul of a man. I remember God, Paul was talking. He said that, listen. He said, submit you and have rule over you. He said, for they watch for your souls. Not your business. Not how they can fleece you. For they must give an account. Account of what? Not the soul at Passover. Not the soul at Pentecost. But a soul at tabernacles. Say one in every man, teaching every man that will prevent every soul. Perfect. Perfect. That is why Babylon, if God revelations, he also treats the souls of men. So you see, it's a delicate affair. No man take this honor unto himself. So don't wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to become a pastor. Like I'll read somewhere, I was coming from somewhere yesterday. He said, what is our goal? That we may make heaven. So we're going to carry souls and pass over to heaven. One in every man. Teaching every man. That will prevent every man. Perfect in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible talks about it. He said, talk about the Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes, what's going to do? Talk about Isaiah. He said that if Bruce Reed, he will not break. A flaming flax, it will not quench. I don't have time to turn there. Your pastor said something in his book, The Gifts and Callings of God. He said an apostle, I need to read it. He said an apostle, talking about an apostle. He said, he has great reserves of compassion. The apostolic office requires the highest level of spiritual development and capacity of all the five ministry offices. Hence, all the other ministries are inherent in the apostolic office. The true, fully developed apostle has spiritual capacity to start and to establish a church because they have divine overview of how the church functions. They have, he said something, he said they have great reserves of patience and spiritual stamina. They are ready to stay with you until you get it right. Like David, he said that if I should lose one shepherd out of 100, I will one sheep, sorry, one sheep. So he will go and get that sheep. Why? Because he will give an account of that sheep. But the body of Christ today, when people leave church, nobody is concerned. Why? Because they are hirelings. Okay, one out of 100, 99, must he pass? No, you must not lose one because he will give an account. Because you know what God said? Lord, just as I was talking, he said something. He said, of all you have given me, I've lost none. You dare lose none of the children of God. Every soul is precious. Every soul perfect in Christ Jesus. If they decide to leave that is all perdition, your hands are free. How I was telling Peter, I said, Peter, come. After 3 years of ministry, you are using your faith to go and catch fish. Is it because of you? I told you to go and get the coin out of the mouth of the fish the other day. So I'm not taking liberty for license to use the blood, the water, and spirit to go and catch fish. Peter. To go and catch fish. So tomorrow, that is the end of your faith. You're not going to go and fish. Ah. He said, Peter, feed my lambs. Peter, feed my sheep. He told them 3 times in the mouth of 2 or 3 testimony instances. Let everybody be established. Feed my lamb. Let me stop. We'll pick it up for my next lesson. Next, I'll just give an overview. We're going to look at how we start as servants. We become princes. And I become kings. I'll categorize princes and kings as sons. We're going to look at Timothy. He was called a son. And still had the sin nature in him. But he was dominating as that Paul could trust him. So what are we saying? Don't let's be discouraged. Let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged. We have seen the capstone in the hands of the Zerubbabel. The foundation has been laid. I will not take that capstone. I'm going to use the blood, the word, and the spirit to download that glory. Lay hold on that hope and let it take you within the veil. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's locust and wild honey. Hallelujah. We thank God for Pastor Dewey and that lovely word from the Bible study in Timothy. And the Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Holy Ghost is saying, not said, not will say, but is saying, present continuous to the church. I just want to emphasize 2 things he mentioned, which I think is of great importance. The first one is the fact that you have to lay hold on that hope, then the hope will drag you in. I think that was a lovely, lovely, very incisive illustration. And Pastor Kunle was just whispering to me, you know, while Pastor Rui was ministering, you know, the person that's dragging you is Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the hope. And how does he drag you? He drags you through intercession. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession. But we know that Jesus' intercession is made intercession for us through the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit does not speak what of himself, but he speaks what Jesus is saying. So when you are praying in tongues, it's actually and groanings, is actually the Lord Jesus who is praying in you, for you, by the Holy Spirit, and it is that intercession that is dragging you from the holy place into the most holy place. So stop praying. It's like taking your hand off. If when you lay hold on the hope, the revelation, you have to keep your hand on the revelation. Keep your grip. That's the word. You need to keep your grip on it by consistent prayer and intercession, and it will drag you in. It will take you from the holy place into the most holy place. And so, understand it. You get the revelation, and then you lay hold on that revelation and keep your grip on it by continual intercession until you enter into the most holy place where the glory now comes into manifestation. The second thing he mentioned, the second thing I want to emphasize rather, when he was talking about sonship, and I think that was a beautiful, beautiful illustration about Timothy. Timothy was on the physical. When we talk about sons in the spirit, we're not talking about your physical son. You know, Timothy was not a physical son to Paul. There was no blood relationship within them. But by the Spirit, Timothy over time, and very correct. He started as a servant. Anybody who wants to go far, you have to start as a servant. And then gradually, like he says in Proverbs 29:21, he says, he that delicately bringeth up his servant shall at the length, over time, he will become his son. But observe, it is at the time appointed by the father, not at the time appointed by the son. See, so many people want to appoint their own time. I feel it's time. Mm-mm. It's not. It is not the child. The child is too immature, and he does not have the necessary spiritual wisdom and understanding to know when the time is. It is the fathers that know the time. And it's the fathers that will be able to say, yes, it is time. You know, even the Lord Jesus didn't know the time. It was God the Father through his mother, you know, Mary, that let him know that this is the time. You know, there was a time, you know, even the day he went to John the Baptist, you know, he just went to obey like everybody else. And he was just baptized in the water. Then the heavens opened. Then God spoke. So the time is always appointed by the fathers. It is not appointed by the sons. Because the sons, they just don't have the wisdom. They don't have that level of revelation and understanding, you know. And in conclusion there, therefore, we must learn to wait. We must learn to wait. I think it's one of the most difficult things for all of us, especially in the light of this glory. Incidentally, you know, my message will be coming later, or just, you know, dovetails with all of this. You know, you'll hear it when I give it. Praise the Lord. But you must learn to wait. And we do not wait passively, we wait actively. And it's that same thing we talked about, the hope dragging you in. How do you wait? You wait by prayer, by watching and praying. That's how you wait. You don't just wait. You're waiting actively. Galatians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 5. We'll stop on this. Galatians, everybody read it. Say, we through the Spirit. We by ourselves, we through the flesh, we through the Spirit wait for the what? Hope of righteousness by faith. That's the only way to wait. You wait for this hope of glory, this perfection through the Spirit by righteousness and by faith. You understand? So you the way you wait is every morning you get up, you do your prayers. You believe God, you know, you groan, you travail, you pray that Christ be formed in you. You do it again the next day, you do it again the next day, and so on until it comes. That's how you wait. But if you keep doing that, you know what's going to happen? The revelation inside you get brighter and brighter and brighter. Even though there may be nothing on the outside yet, but there's something on the inside that you'll be looking at. For the path of the righteous goes brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Let's stand to our feet and talk to God. Don't get weary. Don't get discouraged. One of the sure signs of prayerlessness is weariness and discouragement. It means you're taking your eye, like the Americans say, off the ball. That means you're looking at the wrong things. Once you start looking on, you know, the money, you'll start looking on the physical, you start looking at this, you start looking at that, you know, then that hope, you know, because you now start looking at what is on the physical. But if you keep looking at the Word, if you consider Jesus, if you keep, Jesus is the Word, you know, if you keep looking at Jesus and you stay in the place of prayer, you will, that hope will get brighter and brighter and brighter, and you will not be discouraged. And as, along the way, as you keep walking with God, some of the things you need in the physical, God will start, he'll give them to you. One thing I've discovered in my personal experience is that God will always, you know, supply your need. He may not supply your wants, but he will supply your need. And I tell you what your need is. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. He may not give you everything you want, you know, because most of the time, if he gave you everything you want, it would be a distraction to you. And then you go and settle for Zoa. And think that, oh, okay, I've arrived. You know, so many times God just gives you just what you need. Keep you strong, keep you healthy, keep you, you know, you have food, you have raiment, you know, so that your physical needs are met to a very reasonable degree so that you can continue to wait through the Spirit. Put one hand on your heart.
You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need.
You are the hope.
You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting. Here I find release. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you I sing. You alone deserve all glory. You alone deserve all praise. Worship and see your face.
Oh, you alone,
you alone deserve all glory. You alone deserve all praise. Father, we love you.
We worship you.
We worship you this day.
You are the peace.
The peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need.
Lord,
you are the hope that leads me on, brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, and here I find you. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you I sing. to see your face. Raise your other hand to God. It says, you are the hope that leads beyond. That's what Pastor Dewey was preaching. That's the hope that's dragging you, that's leading you on. And what does it do? It brings you to your knees. It brings you to that place of prayer. Because it is in prayer that you hold on to that hope that will now take you in through the into the holiest of all. That's where you find release. That's where you will find the peace that will guard your heart from the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things that will want to discourage you and distract you from Christ in you, the hope of glory. Raise that hand. Talk to God. Say, Heavenly Father, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you have brought today by your servant, reminding me, Lord God, that I should not release your hope, this hope of perfection in my life. Oh God, I have heard your word. I thank you for this hope that guards my heart. Lord, I repent for all the things I've done in the past, allowing myself to be discouraged, to be distracted, my heart becoming sick because the hope has been deferred. Oh God, I repent of all of these things, and I say afresh today, you are the hope that guards my heart. You are the peace that guards my heart. And you are the hope that leads me on. And I will not allow myself anymore to be discouraged or to be distracted. But I, by your Spirit, through your Spirit, I will continually wait for this hope of your glory, of perfection, by your Spirit, as I pray, knowing that the Lord Jesus is praying for me, through me, by the Holy Spirit. And this prayer will ultimately save me to the very uttermost. Father, I make up my mind, by your mercy and by your grace, that I will follow the example of the Lord Jesus. I will follow the example of our father Abraham. And through faith and patience, consistency, I will inherit the promise of perfection and your glory in Jesus' name. Nekatolo mashallah. Li priki tu fridi kats tu fridengas. Li ramatasku fridinges. Ze fridi alamatonze ki hiko. Jele priki tu fri. Tulomatu fri nungus tu fri. Langa tushku tu fri tu frishi. Shaki tu fri. Lombrika tulomatu fri tu fri tu frishi. Jako kokromatoria. Ze fri. Zening tuske frides. Talama shalaki tu frine. Sofrika kramatulomatulomus tu frishi.
In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah.